The time that we're here in our chapel, what we call our chapel time, while I'm speaking, is one of the most important parts of camp. And so I will be expecting you to work really hard, concentrate really hard, and listen really hard. Okay? So it's all right to lean to the person next to you and say, "Where did he say?" or something like that, okay? But if you're leaning across talking to the next person saying, "So what are you going to do later on tonight when we get out of this place?" you know, or something like that, that's not acceptable, okay? So don't do that. And if the person next to you does it, slap them. Oh, no, you're not there. No, sorry. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. We're in the army, so if the person next to you does that, shoot them. All right? Even better. All right? So I would imagine by the end of the night we're only going to have about 6 campers left. All right. Let's see how we go, though. Tonight is going to be our first session. Can you remember my name? Mr. Carroll. Good. How many of you... How many of you... Yes. Yeah, the answer is?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, but you're ready to end. You're ready to, but you might want to put your hand up. I might be going to say, how many of you want to go home right now?
Yeah.
Or how many of you want to wash the dishes for the rest of camp? Oh, okay, I see that volunteer. All right, so for how many of you is it the first time that you have met me here at camp? How many of you, liar? Okay, so there are a few. There you go, you can put your hands down, I'm sorry. Okay, your life was really nice up to this point, but now I'm afraid you've had to meet me. Ah, well, let's got that over and done with. Now, are you ready to start taking some notes?
Yes.
Are you ready to listen and hear something very special?
Yeah.
Good. Tell me, now you can put your hand up. What is the next thing we're going to do?
Pray.
Nah. All right. Prayer. Very good. We're going to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for camp. Thank you for each of the campers. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to be here to speak to them. Help me tonight, Lord, to share something very special. Help them to listen well and understand and do the things that you want them to do as a result of hearing what they hear. Lord, so we do look to you to do a wonderful work in each of our lives for your glory. And in your name we ask this, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, now, what I'm thinking I'll do is I'll sort of half do it, and that is I might just use this as a, I think I broke it. Ooh. Okay. All right. What does that say? Well, so can you see that from where you are? Okay. This is going to be the next best thing to the data projector. Yes. Okay. Let's have a look at the next one. All right. Maybe I'll have to. It doesn't like that with the PowerPoints. Okay, I might have to plug this thing back in. We'll try that. Give that a go. So how was your afternoon? Anyone get to go for a swim? Who got to swim in the lake? The boys and girls, you got the big pool, did you? Okay. All right. So, look, new picture. Okay, it's a Bible. Now, young people, the name for our camp is A Call to Arms, which is talking about what sort of stuff? Talking about the army, warfare, fighting, all that sort of stuff. Now, the messages, the group of messages I'm going to bring you over these this camp series is called, can you read that? The Whole Armour of God, okay? So if you want to even write that right over the top of the first day, that is what all the messages put together are called. We're going to talk about the whole armour of God. Okay, now, if you were to enrol in the army today, or the navy, or the air force, or whatever, you would be given, I'll just hold it up so you can see how to spell those words, all right? You would be given some equipment. Now, here in the Bible, it's called armour, okay? Now, when we hear the word armour, we tend to only sort of think of part of the things. Whoops. Ooh, zoomed in on it. All right. We tend to only think of the bits that you put on like, you know, a helmet and like the picture on the front of your books, okay? All the metal stuff we tend to think of as the armour. Now, the term in the Bible, the whole armour of God, is talking about the complete kit, okay? Everything that a soldier has. And today, soldiers in their kit have what sort of things? You tell me. Put your hand up. Yes.
Guns.
A gun. One. Just one, thanks. Good. Okay. They have a gun. What else? Food. Water, yeah. What else do they have? A shield. Today, a soldier today has a shield.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing a soldier today walking around with a shield. What else did you see? I heard you. A bulletproof vest, okay. Body armour. What else does a soldier maybe have today? Grenades. Camouflage. Ammo, very good. All right, one more. Weapons, which covers all those things. What about something like night vision goggles? Okay, all those sorts of things, right? Now, in Bible times, this picture is a little bit small. It's going to be a bit hard to see, but there are some soldiers, okay, in a bit of warfare in Bible times. The next picture that I've got for you is also going to be fairly hard to see. Can you see the soldiers in the foreground and the walls in the background falling down? Who can tell me what you think this particular story is from the Bible? Yes? The Battle of Jericho. Very good. So can you see the soldiers there? And you'll notice that the soldiers are in uniform. They've got their shields and their swords and so forth. Now, each of these soldiers, as you look at them again, you'll notice that they're all dressed pretty much the same, aren't they? All got the same uniform on. Now, today, in our armies, do the soldiers all dress in uniform? Yes, they do. Essentially, they do. They all, if you're in a particular division or whatever, you all wear the same uniform. Just like you'll see our leaders are all wearing their camo gear and they match, and so they do in Bible times. Now, in the early days of battles and fighting in the Bible, the soldiers didn't usually all have exactly the same uniforms, okay? I've got another picture here. Hey, it is working now. Look at that. This picture is probably a little bit closer to what they would have looked like. Notice that they're all looking pretty rough and scruffy a bit, and they've got different coloured outfits on and dressed different, right? You notice one thing about them is they've got good, big, bushy beards, all right? So they're definitely biblical characters. But anyway, moving on. The soldiers in Bible times didn't have guns. They didn't have night vision goggles. The sort of weapons that they had in those days were bow and arrows. Can you see the guys with the bow and arrows in this one? This carving that you're looking at in this picture, boys and girls, is about 3,000 years old, okay? And this carving is a carving that was made by the people from the country called Assyria. And those soldiers in the picture Some of those soldiers are Assyrian soldiers from that country, and they're fighting against the people who live in Israel. They didn't have cameras in those days, so what they did, instead of taking a photograph, is they would get their artists to carve the pictures, and that's what this is. It's a carving of a battle that the Assyrians won, and you can see these guys have got bow and arrows, and over here there's a ladder trying to climb up into the city, and the guys have got spears. There's another fella down here you can see with a sword, and so forth. And those are the sorts of weapons that they had in those days. Now, by the time we get to the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus was around and teaching all the wonderful things that he taught, who can tell me what country it was that was controlling Israel and most of the known world at that time? Yes, the Romans. Can you see these soldiers? Can you notice that they are all in pretty much the same uniform? Okay, what sort of soldiers are they? They're Roman soldiers. These ones that you can see at the front are Roman soldiers. And one of the reasons why Rome was the ruler of the world was because they were very organized when it came to warfare. They made sure that all of their soldiers did have a uniform and that all of their soldiers had the right equipment, which was a lot more than those who they were fighting against often had. And that's one of the reasons why the Romans were so victorious. Now, here is an illustration of a Roman soldier. And you notice that he's standing, I've got him standing on the Bible. Okay? Can you see this Roman soldier standing on the Bible? All right. I'm going to put this down now for a little while, but you can see this fella. And this is the fella that we're going to be talking about all week. Okay, because we're going to be learning about each of the parts of his kit that make up his whole armor, the whole lot. Okay, so we're going to be learning about this fella, and we'll be seeing more of him as the week goes by. If you've got the Bible, your Bible, and all of you have, I know, and listen, some of you older ones, some of you who have been reading your Bible for a while, be thoughtful, and if the boy or girl next to you is struggling to find a book of the Bible or something, and you know where it is, help those ones next to you and that sort of stuff, okay? So that we can all see it together. Now, I want us to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. It's near the back of your Bible. It's near the back of your Bible. If you start working back from Revelation, you won't take too long until you find it. It's near the book of Hebrews, which is a fairly big book. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and that's when you get to the books of Timothy. 1st and 2nd Timothy. Have you found it? Good. All right, now we want you to find 2nd Timothy chapter 2. Okay, 2nd Timothy. So there are two books written to Timothy, and we want you to look at the second book of Timothy and the second chapter, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Can you see that there in your Bible? "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth," that means goes to war, "entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." So here is Paul, one of God's heroes that he raised up and who wrote this letter to a pastor called Timothy. And Paul says to Timothy, now, you need to understand, Timothy, that because you're a Christian, you are a soldier. You're a soldier. You're a soldier in God's army. Now, I noticed that one of the songs that we didn't have, maybe it's because it's for little kids and not us big kids, okay? But I didn't see in the book, "I May Never March in the Infantry." I love that one too. Do you know it? "I May Never March in the Infantry, Ride in the Cavalry, Shoot the Artillery, Fly over land and sea. I may never do all those things, but I'm in the Lord's army. And that's what it is if you're a Christian. Now, young people, listen. In Bible times, it was a lot different to what it is here in Australia today. Okay? And even here in Australia today is a lot different to many countries in the world. We've not had a war here in Australia in our lifetime, have we? But listen, some of us know and are praying for another camp that's happening right now at the same time as ours up in Papua New Guinea, right? You guys know about it, most of you, but some of you who are visiting here don't know about it. We're praying for another camp that's happening up in Papua New Guinea with a lot of young people like you who want to be able to come to this camp, but they almost had to call the camp off because a tribe of people that lived on one side of the camp area started a war with a tribe of people who lived on the other side of the camp area, and the camp was in the middle of the plate of the two tribes that were trying to kill each other in a real war. Okay? And that's happening all over the world. If you've seen the news, you know that in Syria there is a big war going on. There are wars going on right now in Africa. There are wars happening all over the world right now. And many countries in the world, if you are the age that you are, sometime, either in your lifetime or at least in your parents' lifetime, there will have been a war in your country. Here in Australia, we're the odd ones out. Australia is a very peaceful country. That's why so many people try to get here to Australia to live, because it's a wonderful place to live. It's a safe place to live. It's a peaceful place to live. And for each of us who live here in Australia, we need to be so thankful to the Lord that we have the privilege of living here. Okay? And young people, the sad thing is many of you and us grown-ups take it for granted when we should be so thankful to God. Okay? But not just now, but throughout history, within a person's lifetime, they would probably be involved in a war. People getting killed and maimed and injured. And even, as I was saying about this fight that's going on in Papua New Guinea, the wife of the missionary last night, she was trying to dislodge an arrow from a man where the arrow had gone up through the bottom of his jaw and was sticking out the side of his face near his eye. But he was still alive, at least. And she was trying to dislodge that arrow from his face. And young people, you all go, and it is, it's awful, but it's weird and it seems terrible that I'm talking about it here. But if you were young people in another country, you would go, oh, he only got an arrow through him. Is that all? You see? And that's what it was like in the times of the Bible. There were many wars, and most people would experience a war within their lifetime. And so when Paul wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, you're a soldier in God's army, then Timothy understood what it meant to be a soldier. People all knew what it was like to be a soldier. Now, we're going to talk about being a soldier in God's army all this week. But the thing is, you're either part of the army or you're not. Now, my youngest son is currently in the process of applying to join the Air Force. But at the moment, he's not part of the Air Force. He's been reading up about it, he's been going having medical checks, and he's had to do some extra schooling and things like that. He had to make a decision, yes, I'm going to join the Air Force, right? And very shortly, probably in the new year, he will become part of the Air Force, right? Now, is he part of the Air Force now? No, he's not. Next year, all being well, Lord willing, Will he be part of the Air Force? Yes, he will. You see, there was a time where he wasn't part of the Air Force, and there will be a time when he is part of the Air Force. Now, what we're talking about here at camp this week, young people, is God's Air Force, God's Army, God's soldiers. And young people, for every single one of you, for every single one of us leaders and adults, there has to be a special day in your life, just like for my son Joshua, where he joins the Air Force, right? There has to be a special day where you join God's army. We're not born part of God's army. There has to be a special day in our life where we join God's army. Can you get that picture? Yes? Okay. So this week, the messages are mostly for those of you who have, come on, say it, joined God's army. All right? Now, some of you may not yet have joined God's army. You're not a Christian yet. So I'll be talking to you at different times, but a lot of the things that I'm talking about this week are for those, which are the majority of the young people here, who have already joined God's army and become a Christian. So even though you may not have yet joined God's army, listen up to what I'm saying, because as you learn about what it's like to be a Christian, that will help you make the decision to say, hey, that's what I want to do. I want to join God's army. I want to become a Christian too, as you learn about what it's like to be a Christian, okay? So listen up, and I trust that by the end of the week, every single one of you would be able to walk up to me and say, Mr. Carroll, I know that I'm part of God's army. I know I'm a Christian. That'll make my week, and that'll be the most fabulous thing that could happen at camp, okay? So we're going to talk about a soldier's equipment. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is found in the book of Ephesians. This is out the one. Some of you have already memorized these verses, okay? How many of you already passed some of the verses? Put your hand up. Wow, that's awesome. Excellent. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. All right, so where you are at Timothy, turn towards the front of the Bible about 20 pages, okay? Maybe not even that. If you get to the book of Galatians and Corinthians, you've gone too far. So you've got Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Keep going up here, you're nearly there. Philippians, it's the next one. Philippians is just after, there's Ephesians now. Find chapter 6, the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. Find chapter 6. Just before the book of Philippians, you'll find chapter 6 of Ephesians. All right. You got it? Now we're going to start reading at verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Now this is Paul again writing, and this time he's not writing to Timothy. This time he's writing to a church that's located in a city called Ephesus, and that's why this book is called the Book of Ephesians, because the people were to the people of Ephesus. And he's saying, my brethren. Who can put your hand up and tell me why he would call these people brethren? He says, my brethren. Who thinks they know? Yes, sir. Because they're Christians, that's right. Christians call each other brother and sister because we're part of God's family, okay? There are different words that God uses to talk about his people. What was the first one and what our camp's all about? That Christians are also called being in an army. We're soldiers, okay? Another picture that God uses of his people is a picture of the family. And that's why we're called brothers and sisters. Now, he says brethren, that means brothers and sisters. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, if you're in the army, you have to fight against the enemy, right? in the army, there's an enemy soldiers, okay, to fight against. And the enemy soldiers have a leader. The leader of the enemy soldiers who are fighting against Christians is called the devil, okay? So we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is that talking about? Good grief, there's a lot of big words in there. Let me explain it to you simply, boys and girls. The Christian's enemy, listening, you can write this down if you want to. The Christian's enemy is not, put in big letters, N-O-T, the Christian's enemy is not the person who's not a Christian. Okay? We're not fighting against people who are not Christians. You got that? Okay? The people who we're fighting against, the ones that we're fighting against are not people who aren't Christians. The people that we're fighting against are invisible. Did you see the word invisible there? In that thing it says invisible, right? Our enemy is the devil and his demons. Invisible forces that we can't see. Okay? So, the people who aren't Christians, they're not really the enemy. Now, sometimes people who are not Christians will attack us and say terrible things to us and even hurt Christians. But the Christian is not trying to destroy people who aren't Christians. What are we trying to do? Yes, turn them into Christians. We're trying to get them to join God's army too. Okay? They're like prisoners of war. Or they're like soldiers who don't realize they're fighting for the bad guys. And once we help to show them they're fighting for the bad guys, hopefully they'll decide to join us and fight on the good side. Okay? So that's who we're fighting against. Verse 13 says, wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So we're going to put the whole armour of God, and here tonight, we're only going to be able to talk about it briefly because this is mainly an introduction tonight. But what was that last little bit there? Very good. Someone knows what it's talking about. Your loins, that is around your waist, girt about with truth. So I've got a belt on here tonight, okay? A soldier would have a belt. Now I'm going to show you the picture again, and you will notice that our soldier has got a belt on. All right, we've even put a little cross on his belt to show you that he's a Christian soldier, all right? Okay? But you'll notice that he's got his belt on. And the first thing that's mentioned of the soldier's equipment is his belt. Did anybody come up with the word belt when we were talking about all the soldier's bits of equipment before? Did anyone come up with belt? No, we didn't, did we? Wow, how about that? We thought of all these things for a soldier, but we didn't think of his belt. It'd be terrible if he went running into battle and his pants fell down and he tripped over. It'd be awful. Boys and girls, we could turn to another verse, but we won't. If you're quick, you can write it down, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can write it down and look it up later. Is it one of the memory verses? I don't think it is. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Okay, write it down. We haven't got time to look it up now. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, we're told that the weapons of our warfare are not made out of wood and metal and stuff like that. That our weapons aren't real. We're not really soldiers with a shield and a sword and all that sort of stuff. and trying to stab and kill people. We're not soldiers like that at all, okay? Our weapons are not guns or anything like that. The Christian's weapons are different to the sorts of weapons that a real type of soldier uses, okay? And you're going to learn what they are this week. And the first weapon that a Christian has, we just read about, is... No, you dummies! Someone said it. Truth. Okay? A soldier has a belt. And so Paul says, you wear the belt of... So our first part of our kit is not the belt. The first part of our kit is... I didn't hear you. Okay? Young people, truth is, I think you could probably say, just about the most important thing in the world. All right? Truth is just about the most important thing in the world. Now, of course, we know God is most important, but as far as learning about God and where we're going to spend eternity, whether we're going to spend it with God or not, the most important thing for us is truth. The Lord Jesus, and you can write this down in John chapter 14, verse 6, and I know I've got a picture of it, okay? The belt of truth. All right, here it is. The Lord Jesus said, what did he say? I am the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. Young people, that's a big thing to say, isn't it? I am the truth. Now, young people, let's bring the next one up. To become a Christian, we must believe the truth about the Lord Jesus. If you don't believe what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus, the truth of who he is, you can't become a Christian. You see, some people say that the Lord Jesus was just a good bloke. Well, that's not the truth. Yes, he was good. Yes, he was a person like us, but he was more than just a person. He was a God-man. God came down to earth as the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the one who made the earth. The Lord Jesus never told a lie. The Lord Jesus never did a thing wrong. He was perfectly pure and sinless. The Lord Jesus is truth. And unless we believe in the Lord Jesus of the Bible, can you see that? Okay? Unless you believe in the Lord Jesus of the Bible, then you can't become a Christian. Okay? And once you become a Christian, let's see if that is working. Yes, it is. If you are a Christian, you must be true and truthful too. You see, the Lord Jesus was true, and he always told the truth. And when we become a Christian, God wants us to be like the Lord Jesus. And so for you, if you are a Christian, God wants you to be truthful, wants you to tell the truth. Now, sometimes some of us think it's clever to tell the truth about somebody so that we hurt their feelings.
Oh, you've got three heads.
Okay, it might be true, but it hurts their feelings, right?
Oh, look at you, your beard's gone grey.
Okay? It's true, isn't it? My beard has gone grey. It used to be black one day, once upon a time. But look at him, his beard's grey. Okay? He's grey, it's white. Okay, okay, your beard's not grey, your beard's white. You see, we can tell the truth, but we can hurt someone's feelings, right? The Bible says that we should speak the truth in love. In other words, we only ever use the truth to help people, not to hurt people. Okay? And boys and girls, the devil is a The devil is a liar. And you know, one of the things that he does is not only does he try to get you and me, who are Christians even, to believe his lies, but he also tries to get us to tell lies. And the sad thing is, we do. It's very disappointing and it hurts God's feelings. But the wonderful thing is, when we will confess and repent and ask the Lord to forgive us, he will and he does. Okay? God has given us something that is true because it's from him to help us with all this stuff. What do you think it is that God has given us to help us with all this stuff that is true in every way? You've already answered too many. Okay, how about someone else who hasn't answered any yet? What has God given us that is true in every way that can help us? Yes? The Bible. Very good. I think it's even coming up next. There it is. The Bible. Okay? God has given us the Bible, and the Bible is true. And we can use his book, the Bible, to help us to be true and to be a blessing to others if we're a Christian. Young people, sometimes we have to tell the truth and say, it was me. I did it. I'm sorry. Sometimes someone who's not a Christian might say to you, why does the Bible say da, 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 da? And you think to yourself, man, I haven't got a clue. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll see if I can make up something. No. You know what the best thing is to say? Actually, no, the best thing to say is, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm going to go and ask. I can ask my mum and dad or my pastor or my Sunday school teacher, because I know there will be an answer. And if you really want the truth and you really do want an answer to that question, I'll find out for you, but I don't know, I'm sorry. What do you think people will say? Do you think they'll respect you, or do they think, they might just go, I just wanted to get rid of you, but okay, all right, well, yeah, find out the answer and I'll think about it, all right? It's always best to tell the truth, boys and girls. It's always best to be true and honest and speak the truth in love. And when we do, we're being like the Lord Jesus, and we are getting the first part of being a good soldier right. I want to finish with a story from a Christian movie, but this sort of thing has happened many times in different Christians' lives. But there was a lovely Christian movie put out a few years ago, and in one of the scenes, this man, and the man was probably about my age, okay, but he'd just become a Christian. And he went back to work now as a different person, as a Christian. And now he was working really hard, and he tried to always be on time for work, and he was really responsible in doing all of his jobs. And his bosses noticed that he was working really hard and that he was now a really good worker. And so one day, the big boss called him into his office. And he went into the office and he thought, oh, I wonder what I've done. And so the big boss was there, and his supervisor, and another one of like the members of the board or whatever. There were about two or three other people in the room, and they said, yeah, we've been watching you, and we're thinking about giving you a promotion. Oh, he says, oh, I thought I must have been in trouble or something. I said, no, we're thinking about giving you a promotion. And it's a very important job that we want to give you. It's like a manager position, and you'll be in charge of all the trucks that come in and unload the stuff, and that get shipped out to other warehouses and stuff like that. Very important job. You'll be getting paid a lot more than what you are now, but we want to be sure that you're the right guy for the job. Yes, sir. He said, now, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, there'll be a truck coming in, and we want you to spend the day tomorrow learning the ropes of this to see if you might be able to manage it, okay? And you'll have your clipboard that has the stuff on it that the truck's got in it. And when that particular truck comes in, you'll notice that it's actually got more stuff on it than what's on the sheet, okay? And the guy who will be training you will have just happened to gone off to the toilet at that time, and you'll be on your own. And when that truck comes through, we want you just to sign it off that what's on the sheet is what's on the truck, okay? Sometimes we have to do these sorts of things just to be, you know, it happens. And this is just a little test to make sure you're the right guy for the job, okay? And the fella said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'd love to have the job, but I'm sorry, I couldn't do that. You see, I'm a Christian. I've just become a Christian only a few weeks ago. And now, as a follower of the Lord Jesus, I have to tell the truth. And that's not... Sorry. You'll have to find someone else for the job. I guess I'm not the right guy. And he started walking out. He felt a hand on his shoulder. It was the boss. The boss turned him around. And he said, that was the right answer. You are the right man for the job. It was a test, but we wanted to see if you were strong enough to stand up for the truth. You've got the job. Amen? Young people, God is very interested in the truth. And if you're a Christian, you need to understand that's why this is the first piece of the armour. Truth is so important to God and needs to be important to you, young people. And that's why your leaders care so much about you. That's why we have these rules. That's why we're trying to help you to follow the Lord Jesus. He is the truth. And if you truly are a Christian, then you need to be true and truthful too. And if you're not yet a Christian, tonight's not too early to talk to your leader or to me or someone else who you know about finding the truth and becoming a Christian too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the truth, and that here at this wonderful camp we can share the truth with each of these precious young souls. Lord, I pray for each one of them, that for those of them who know, perhaps they know for sure, that they're not yet a Christian, but they're seeking the truth. Lord, help them to be brave and to talk to their leader or one of us about meeting and finding the truth in you, Lord Jesus. And for those of our campers who are Christians, Lord, help them to understand how important truth is to you and how important it needs to be to them. Amen.